Luke chapter 2. Our text for this morning is the verse 15. Luke chapter 2 and verse 15. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even on to Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. Christ and the seeking shepherds. Angels played an important role in the events surrounding the incarnation of the Son of God. Regarding one such angel named Gabriel, we learn about his task. Angels are employed by God to carry out his command and his orders. And Gabriel was given a certain task which he was to carry out. Luke chapter 1, verse 26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth. He had already been sent by God to Zacharias to tell him that his wife Elizabeth would bear a son and that he would call his name John. Luke 1 verse 19. We notice in that verse 19, Gabriel said, I stand in the presence of God and am sent unto thee. It's very significant. The angel said, I stand in the presence of God and am sent unto thee. His standing in the presence of God would indicate that the angel Gabriel was ever ready to carry out God's commands and God's instructions and God's bidding. I stand in the presence of God. And then he said, I stand in the presence of God and am sent unto thee. And so he was standing in God's presence, ready to be sent, and sent at the Lord's bidding and the Lord's command. We can learn from angels. And we can learn from this angel, Gabriel, that we should, like him, be ever ready to do the Lord's bidding. And when we are given the Lord's command, we should ever be ready to carry it out. Gabriel stood in the presence of God, and once the command was given, he was sent to Zacharias, and then he was sent to Mary. Let us ever be ready to do the Lord's bidding and the Lord's command. So the angel was given a task, namely to go to Mary with a message. As well as his task, we have his theme. The theme of this message, the angel Gabriel came to Mary to tell her about the coming Christ. For we read there in the verse 30 of chapter 1, And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. And he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. There was the theme of the message. And see how the angel highly exalted Christ and how the angels spoke well of Christ, saying, "Thou shalt bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and he shall be called the Son of the Highest. And unto him shall be given the throne of his father David." The angel lifted up Christ. The angel glorified the Lord Jesus. Again, we learn from the angels. We ought to always glorify Christ. We should always exalt the Savior. Because remember what the Lord Jesus himself said. He said, If I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. John 12:32. If I be lifted up from the earth. The Lord spoke to me through that verse a number of years ago. I've always sought to lift up Christ, but it just came home to me even more so as I thought upon those words and how Christ always needs to be lifted up. Again, the Lord Jesus said in John 3:14, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Yes, he was lifted up on the cross. But he must always be lifted up in our lives, in our behavior, in our conversation, in the preaching of the word. Christ must always be lifted up. We must always speak well of him, even as the angel did. He shall be great. He shall be called the Son of the Highest. Regarding the angel and the message, we've seen the task. We see also there is there the theme. And that brings us then to the tidings. The tidings. For this angel appeared again, only this time unto the shepherds. We noted that in our reading this morning. In Luke chapter 2 and verse 10. There we read, "And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." There's the tidings. Was brought to the shepherds regarding the Savior's birth. The angel was then joined by a heavenly host. We read there in verses 13 and 14, "And suddenly there was with the angel an heavenly host, praising God, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Once again, let us be like these angels. For what are they doing? They are praising the Lord. They're exalting the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God. When you think of it, believer, we should ever give thanks to the God of heaven for sending his Son. Had Christ not come into the world, you and I would still be on the road to hell. Maybe already in it. But God sent his Son. God sent his Son to save his people from their sins. And let us be like the angels. They exalted the God of heaven. So let us come and adore him. But I want to consider the message which was delivered by the angel to the shepherds. And in particular, what the shepherds did upon receiving that message. So we want to consider today Christ and the seeking shepherds. Let us notice first of all the message for the shepherds. Is it interesting that when the announcement about Christ's birth was made, it was made to nobody else but the shepherds? Here we have then their persons. Was it not most appropriate that the news about the birth of Christ was given to shepherds first? Of all the people in the land of Israel, shepherds were the first to receive the message of Christ's birth. Because the Lord Jesus is variously referred to in Scripture as a shepherd. Most appropriate. Paul refers to him as the great shepherd of the sheep. Hebrews 13 and verse 20. He's the great shepherd. The Apostle Peter spoke of him as the chief shepherd. 1 Peter 5 and verse 4. The Lord Jesus himself said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. John 10 verse 11. And then what did we sing this morning? The Lord is my shepherd. So he is a great shepherd. He's the chief shepherd. He's the good shepherd. And praise the Lord, we can say he's my shepherd. And so in the light of this title repeatedly given to the Lord Jesus, was it not most appropriate that the news about Christ's birth was then given first of all to shepherds? Because Christ is the great shepherd, the chief shepherd, the good shepherd, and he's our shepherd. Given to shepherds abiding in their field, keeping watch over their flock by night. We notice then, as we consider the persons of these shepherds, notice that they were humble shepherds. Being a shepherd in the days of the Lord was an occupation that was greatly disdained by the Jews. According to the Talmud, which is a book of laws set out for the Jews to live by, shepherds were equated with the heathen. They were not permitted to witness in court. Shepherds were forbidden from receiving any charity. Indeed, in Egypt, in the days of Joseph, we read in Genesis 46 and verse 34, every shepherd is an abomination unto the Egyptians. So that's what people thought about shepherds. Yet it was to humble shepherds that God sent an angel to announce the news about the birth of his Son, the incarnation of Christ. It was to humble shepherds. So isn't it good that God is pleased to include humble shepherds in his divine plan? This reminds us the words of Paul. Paul, in his first letter to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 27, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty listen, and base things of the world, and things which are despised, have God chosen, yea, and all, and things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence. Isn't that marvelous? That the mighty God of heaven chooses base things, things that are despised, and that which in the eyes of men are not. They're nobodies. The shepherds were nobodies in the eyes of men, and yet it was to the shepherds that the angel was sent. Remembering Christ as the shepherd, He was despised and rejected of men. But the Lord called shepherds to serve Him. Didn't God choose and call Moses, a shepherd, to be Israel's leader and liberator? Exodus 3, verse 1. Didn't God choose and call David, a shepherd, to be Israel's king? 1 Samuel 16, verse 11. Didn't God choose and call Amos, a shepherd, and made him a prophet? Amos 1, verse 1. Chooses the things that are despised and the things that are not, to confound the things that are mighty. And it was to shepherds the angel was sent. First of all, before anybody else knew, apart from Mary and Joseph, of course, before anybody else knew, the shepherds were told first. They were humble shepherds. They were also honored shepherds. Honored by being the first man to be told about the birth of Christ. God did not send angels to the Caesars to tell them that the Messiah had come. God did not send angels to tell King Herod or other men in position of power to tell them that Christ had come. God did not send angels to the religious hierarchy in Israel to inform them of the Savior's birth. God didn't send the angels to the chief priests, to the scribes, or to the Pharisees, or to the elders. God sent His angel, the shepherds. Humble shepherds. Nobody's in the eyes of men. God sent His angel to the lowly shepherds. Just as David said in Psalm 138, verse 6, though the Lord be high, yet hath He respect unto the lowly. Though God be high, yet hath He respect unto the lowly. But the proud He knoweth afar off. He had respect unto those lowly shepherds. And once again, how appropriate that humble and lowly shepherds were first to be told. Because Christ Himself is a humble and a lowly shepherd. Isn't that what He said? Take My yoke upon you and learn of Me, for I am meek and lowly. and ye shall find rest unto your souls. So regarding this message from the shepherds, we had noticed their persons. Then we noticed, secondly, their purpose. Of course, the purpose of shepherds is to care for the sheep. And when the angel appeared, we see what the shepherds were doing. Look there at verse 8. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. That's what they were doing. That was their purpose, to care for the sheep, to watch over them. But regarding their purpose, we notice their dwelling. We are told that these shepherds were abiding in the field. That word abiding that we have here in the verse 8 is not found anywhere else in the New Testament. Is the only reference to this word abiding. And the word itself means lodging. Talk about a home. It's a person's lodging. That's the word that is used here. So we have the shepherds, and they were lodging in the field that night that the angel came upon them. They were dwelling with the sheep. Now the tense of the word itself is in the continuous tense, which means they were abiding and they were continuing to abide. It wasn't as if they were there with the sheep for a short time and then they decided to go home. No, they were abiding and they continued to abide. They were lodging with the sheep and they continued to lodge with the sheep. When others were at home, wrapped up in their beds, in their lodging, where were the shepherds? They were out in the open field, lodging with their sheep. Here's another reason why God sent an angel to the shepherds, and sent an angel to the shepherds at this particular time. Why was the message sent at that particular time, in the middle of the night? The Lord is the good shepherd, and the Lord is our good shepherd. Will always abide with his sheep. He'll never abandon his sheep. He'll never leave his sheep. He will always abide with us. When danger comes, the Lord said, regarding the hireling in John 10, he said, the hireling leaveth the sheep and fleeth. When danger comes, when wolves come, the hireling will leave the sheep. Why? Because they're not his sheep. He's only employed to care for the sheep. But the Lord went on to say, the hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. But Christ is the good shepherd. He does care for the sheep. Because after all, he bought the sheep. He bought the sheep. He bought us with his own blood. He cares for us. He will never ever abandon the sheep. He will dwell with us. He will abide with us. Abide with me, thus falls the eventide. The Lord will always abide with us. Hebrews 13, verse 5. The Lord says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. We often quote those words run off our lips so easily. We know it's true. But do we know the true meaning, the real meaning of those words? We have them before us. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. But in the original, they read, I will never, no, never leave thee. Emphasizing, I will never, no, never leave thee. He will abide with us. He will dwell with us. Sure, hasn't he taken up residence in us? The Lord abides in us. We notice also there, the shepherds, their dwelling. Notice their diligence. We're told in that verse again that there were in the same country shepherds abiding, dwelling in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. Keeping watch. There's their diligence. We are specifically told that the shepherds were keeping watch. We're told what they were doing when the angel appeared. They were keeping watch over their flock by night. So these shepherds, as they spent the night in the field, keeping watch over their flocks, they were obviously alert. And they were alert all through the night. And here, as we see these diligent shepherds, we are reminded once more of our shepherd. David says in Psalm 121, verses 3 and 4, He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. He will never slumber. And the word that we have as keepeth is a word that is, again, in the continuous sense. In other words, he will always have his eyes on us. He will always keep his sheep. The shepherds continued to keep their sheep all through the night. In other words, all their sheep that they were keeping didn't lose any. They kept every one of their sheep. Know what it says? They were watching their flocks by night. They were keeping their flocks by night. They didn't lose any. The Lord Jesus, in his great high priestly prayer, found in John 17, said this, While I was with them in the world, the disciples, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept. And none of them is lost. But the son of perdition, which was Judas, who was never one of the Lord's sheep, pretended to be a disciple, but he had never was one of the Lord's sheep. And the Lord says, I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. He's the good shepherd. And he keeps his watch over his sheep, and he hasn't lost one. There's no shepherd has a record like that. Christ has never lost one of his sheep. And as the shepherds were abiding in the field, they were keeping watch over their flock by night. And so all through the night, they were watching their sheep. No, their eyes never closed, according to the verse, in slumber or in sleep. They're always watching. The sheep always had the eyes of the shepherd upon them. Now, who does that remind us of? The shepherd always had their eyes on the sheep. What about our good shepherd? We know in Psalm 34, verse 15, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ear is ever open unto their cry. What did Hagar say when she was out there in the wilderness? Now, God, a lonely woman out there on her own, and yet the eyes of the Lord were upon her. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous. The eyes of the good shepherd are always upon the sheep. You recall that night that the Lord sent the disciples away in the boat and told them to cross over onto the other side. Sent the multitudes away, told the disciples to get into the boat, and he went up into a mountain to pray. We know what happened there. The storm broke upon the disciples and they were sore afraid. Listen. Mark 6, verse 48. We read these words. And he saw them toiling and rowing, for the sea was contrary unto them. But wait a minute. It was at night. And yet we read the Lord saw them toiling and rowing. He saw them. His eyes were always upon them. And whether it is daylight or pitch dark, listen, the Lord's eyes are always on us. And when we go through life and we are also toiling and rowing, or one of the life's storms is broken upon us, the Lord's eyes still on us. He hasn't closed his eyes. He neither slumbers nor sleeps. God's eye is ever upon us. Turn to Psalm. Psalm 139. And there in Psalm 109, that very fact is set out for us. That whether it is daytime or nighttime, whether it is dark or light, we read in Psalm 139 and verse 11, if I say, surely the darkness shall cover me. The psalmist then goes on to say, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. Praise the Lord. Doesn't matter how dark the night is, the Lord still sees it. It was a dark night for those disciples. But we read, and he saw them toiling and going, why should I feel discouraged? Why should the shadows come? Why should my heart be lonely and long for heaven and home when Jesus is my portion? My constant friend is he. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. That's right. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know that he watches me. We've seen the persons, namely the shepherds. We considered their purpose. Next, we notice the period. We are told that the shepherds were keeping watch over their flocks by night. So it was night time when the shepherds were given the news about Christ. Once again, this is very significant. I've already said, why was the news broken to them at night? Why not when they're in the field during the day? But the news was brought to them at night. They were told about the Christ child at night. Do you remember what the Lord said? In John 8 and verse 12, we have there one of his great I Am's. The Lord said, I am what? The light of the world. I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. So Christ came into the world as the light of the world to dispel the darkness, just as it was in the days of creation. There was darkness on the face of the deep, and God said, let there be light. And the light dispelled the darkness. And the light he called day, and the darkness he called night. And Christ is the light. And you'll notice there in the verse 9, and the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. The word glory. The glory of the Lord shone round about them. The word glory is the word light. And so the angel of the Lord appeared unto them, came upon them, and the light of the Lord shone round about them. Can you imagine what it was like that night in the field? And suddenly the light of the Lord shone round about them. It was no longer dark where those shepherds were. It wasn't dark anymore, because the light of God, the light of the Lord, shone round about them. And we see that Christ came into the world. Luke 1 verse 79. Christ Jesus came into the world, what to do? To give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death. All these things are so significant. Why shepherds? Why was the news broken or given to shepherds? Why nobody else but shepherds? Well, we have seen why. Christ is a shepherd. Why was the news brought to shepherds at night? Because Christ is the light. and the light dispels the darkness. To give light to them that sit in darkness. If you think of the many today that are sitting in spiritual darkness, what do they need? Who do they need? They need Christ. Christ will give them light. And Christ will give them light. And Christ will dispel the darkness. To give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death. And all of mankind sits in the night of spiritual darkness. And only Christ is the light of the world. And only Christ can dispel the darkness. I'll have to leave it there for this morning. Tonight I want to go on and look at the message about the Savior. The message was for the shepherds. Then we'll look at the message about the Savior. And then we'll see that message that led to the seeking. The shepherds seeking Christ. What a wonderful portion of Scripture this is. Let's bow our heads together in prayer. O loving God and eternal Father, we bless Thee for the Word that presents to us the Lord Jesus Christ, God manifest in flesh. The Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Son of Man, who came into the world to seek and to save that which was lost. We think, Lord, of the shepherd that the Savior spoke about, who left the 99, went in search for the one sheep that was lost, and when he had found it, put it upon his shoulders and returned home rejoicing. And O Lord God, we thank Thee for the day that Thou didst go and find us. We bless Thee, Lord, that Thou didst lift us up out of the mire of sin. And Lord, what rejoicing there was in the presence of the angels. And what rejoicing there was in our own hearts. O Lord, we pray that even at this time of the year, when people, Lord, the worldly man and woman, use this season to enjoy the pleasures of sin, O Lord God, may we rejoice. May we rejoice that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And we can all say with Paul, of whom I am chief. Lord, write the word upon our hearts. Be with us throughout this Sabbath day. And Lord, be pleased to return us this evening. Spend more time, Lord, with Thee. And spend time around Your word. We might learn more about Christ Jesus, our Savior. Lord, grant us all traveling mercy now. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now. And until the day breaks, and all the shadows flee away. Amen.